The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
Well, welcome back to Truth Infusion, guys. I'm excited that you're with me today. Thank you, Matt, for that introduction, and let's get right into it. We're talking about the sin nature. We've been on this for a few weeks now. I can't underline the importance of how extremely important this teaching is for you. Let me tell you a personal story. I was saved when I was 6 years old. Been working in the church, serving the Lord in different capacities for years, for most of my life. In 2000, I moved back to Texarkana and began working full-time for Partnership Church of Texarkana. I was the worship leader there, an elder, charge of many different ministries. And I did that for 11, 12 years until God led me to begin Truth Infusion. I've been working for the Lord all of my life, in some way or another. It wasn't until, I want to say maybe 5 years ago, maybe not quite that long, that God began to explain and show and reveal to me, by revelation knowledge, an understanding of the sin nature. And I'd heard the sermons or the teachings in one way or another before, but for whatever reason, it was God's timing that this clicked. And when it did, and I began to really dive into it myself and study Romans chapter 6, and through that, I began to show and teach others. I've done this Bible study, I don't know how many times now. I've, you know, ministered on this many times in front of one person sitting across the table from me, in front of small groups, in front of whole churches. This message turned my Christian life around when I began to realize and recognize the enemy within. It began a spiritual journey for me that has not stopped. I mean, exponential growth when I learned and understood what my problem was. Why I struggled, why I lived a defeated Christian life, why I wasn't experiencing life the way the Bible outlined for me as a Christian. I began to recognize this disconnect between my life and the way I was living and the way I was experiencing it and the way I knew the Bible spoke about me. And God began to reveal to me what the difference was, where the disconnect was. And it was because I did not understand the sin nature, my relationship to it, what God, Jesus at Calvary did, what the Holy Spirit wanted to do for me now, what I was not allowing Him to do. When I began to understand this teaching the way you need it, because I'm not some prize example, I'm the run of the mill, guys. I'm the average. We all need to understand this. When I began to understand the power of Romans chapter 6, then so many other things began to make sense. I began to see the Bible in a whole new light, and my Christian walk began to turn around. I am far from perfect. Ask my wife. Ask my children. I mess up regularly, but it's not like it used to be. It's not the same thing that it used to be. And I owe it all to God, and it began right here. Okay, I want to switch for just a second, and I want to go, I want to talk about some small kitchen appliances for just a few minutes. And then we're going to get back into Romans chapter 6. And I know you're thinking, what are you talking about, David? Let me explain to you. I want to talk about blenders, because this is an illustration that I didn't get time to use last week, but this makes sense to me. And if you can begin to see things through my weird way of thinking, then perhaps it'll open up understanding to you even more. I want to talk about blenders. Now, you take a blender, you set it on the counter. You can spend a bunch of money on a good blender, man. But let me tell you something. If you don't plug it in, the thing's not going to do you any good. It's not going to work. It needs power, right? It's got to have power. So you take that plug, you plug it into the wall, you turn it on, and you go to work blending up you know, your fruits and vegetables, making your smoothie, whatever it is that you bought the blender for. Here's the thing. Picture your sin nature that you were born with. Thank you very much, Adam. Adam passed it down to you. Dads, we passed it down to our kids. You were born with it. This sin nature plugged into a power source working full out in your life, creating havoc, producing sin like a sin factory in your heart and life. All right? And here's what happens at Calvary. We're going to get into this in the scripture in great detail here in a little bit. But in your heart and life, God, at the point that you came to Calvary, you kneeled down before Jesus and you said, "Be my Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Save me. I accept what you did at the cross." God says, "You are justified in my sight because you believed in the work of my Son. You believed that I brought him to life from the dead, and he saved you." Now, at that moment, you didn't know this. At that moment, an amazing thing happened. God reached down into your heart and unplugged the sin blender in your life. All right? That sin factory, that machine in your life that had been creating and producing sin, God reached down and unplugged the cord from the power source, and it no longer had power in your life. Are you with me? That's why in Romans chapter 6, verse 2, that we discussed this in detail last week, but I'm going to go over it real quick with this illustration that I'm giving you. That's why Paul said, in response to the question in verse 1, he gives the response in verse 2, "God forbid, how shall we," who's the we? Christians, somebody that's been saved, "how shall the saved who are dead to sin," and that's what he's talking about right here, because that word "dead" doesn't mean that it croaked, that it's now extinct, that it's now gone forever. That's not what it's talking about. That word "dead" is better translated a change of relationship or a separation. And here's what happened. God reached down and unplugged the power from the sin blender that was driving your life. And Paul, he's saying that now. So since that happened and the relationship between sin nature and your life has changed because God unplugged it, how shall we, whose relationship to the sin nature is now changed, how shall we live in sin any longer? Paul's making a big point in your heart right now. You need to know this. God has unplugged the sin nature from its power source in your life. It's no longer powered in your heart because of what Jesus did at Calvary. So do we continue to live in sin now? God forbid. How? It's impossible. How shall we, who are dead to sin, live in it any longer? The sin blender has been unplugged. All right? Now, hope that made sense. That makes it make sense to me. So that's why I wanted to give you that illustration. So this is verse 2. That's an explanation again, summarization of verse 2. Now let's get to verse 3. Because in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, we began to see what happened that caused the relationship change. Okay? So the relationship, my relationship with the sin nature is now changed. I accept that. Okay, how did that happen? What happened? Really, honestly, what took place? That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Here's what it says. Paul says, "Know you not," or, "Hey, don't you know?" This is something you should know. "Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Let me say it again. If you're driving in your car, I want you to understand verse 3. I'm going to read it to you again. "Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Okay, the question is, how did the relationship change take place? What happened? Let's look at the word "baptized," because we got to get over a hurdle right here so that you can get this. in the Word, baptized can be taken one of two ways when you see the word baptized. When we hear the word baptized, we always think the same things. We always think be dunked underwater. Honestly, there's several different kinds of baptisms spoken of in the Word. And so we're going to put them in one of two categories. Either it is a literal activity or event that takes place. And I'm talking about being dunked into the water, literally placed into water, immersed into water. The ceremonial activity that takes place, if you got saved and you got baptized, this is the literal translation of the word. However, then there are also figurative times that the word is used where it's not really talking about placing somebody into water. It's talking about something completely different. And I wish that these words had been translated differently so that the same word baptized isn't used for the literal as well as the figurative, because it confuses us. I guarantee you, those of you that have a study Bible, and it's good to have a good study Bible. I've got more than one. The majority of the time, if you look at the study notes for Romans 6:3, 6:4, and you see that word baptized, those study notes are always going to start talking to you about getting baptized into water. It's just not a good teaching for this, because this is not a literal baptism, and it's not talking about being placed into water. So if it's possible for you, at least for the teaching here, the time being, take the idea of water and getting dunked underwater and set it aside, because it throws off the meaning and understanding of this scripture right here. It's not talking about literally being placed into water. It's talking about a figurative happening. And really, it talks about being placed into a new or a different kind of union. All right? The word baptism, if you want to transliterate it or transcribe it or get a better meaning of it, it really best to just take out the word baptized and to say to be placed into. That's what it means. Okay? So what this is talking about in Romans 6, verse 3, is being placed into a new kind of relationship. He just told us in verse 2, our relationship with the sin nature is changed, is gone. The power source has been removed. That relationship is dead. Now he's going to start telling us about a new relationship. So with that understanding of the word baptism, I want to read you verse 3 again. But instead of saying baptized, I'm going to say be placed into. And I want you to see if you can grab a hold of this a little better. Here's what Paul says in verse 3. Don't you know that so many of us that were placed into Christ Jesus were placed into his death? And again, remember, we're talking about a new relationship. In verse 2, the old relationship, dead, sin nature, changed, that relationship set aside, separated. What's the new relationship that takes its place? Don't you know that you and I were placed into Christ Jesus? And we were placed into his death. Okay, so the question we're trying to ask here is, how did the relationship with sin, the sin nature, happen? Well, Paul says, step one, we were placed into Christ. See, at the point of salvation, in the mind of God, in God's eyes, we were placed into a new relationship. That relationship was a vital union with Jesus. We were placed into Christ. What's a vital union? It means to be joined, to be combined or merged or grafted into. You've heard that used in the word. To be infused. I like that word, truth infusion. To be infused into, to be melted together. You take two pieces of metal, you heat them up to the point they become liquid and they run into each other. They've been infused or made into a vital union, to be completely connected. You know, our relationship with Jesus is pictured greatly in the relationship we have with our husband or wife, our marriage, to be made one flesh. Don't you know that you were placed into a vital union with Jesus Christ? Oh, we got a lot more to talk about. You come back on the other side of the break.
If you're in the market for concrete work, Truth Infusion Ministries highly recommends Self Concrete for your project needs. With 25 years of experience, Kenneth Self is an honest Christian craftsman ready to bid commercial as well as residential jobs. They can do design and build projects as well as decorative stamped work. For more information, call Self Concrete at 903-748-9967. That's 903-748-9967. Kenneth is waiting to hear from you.
Hey, truth seekers, especially you pastors out there, go to truthinfusion.com and check out our schedule of events. We've got a lot of things coming up at different churches, but there's room for your church. If you have a need for a worship event or a teaching event, I'd love to come in and preach and teach the Word of God for you. Give me a call or email me at truthinfusion@gmail.com. Let's put something on the schedule for you and your congregation. Truth Infusion Ministries is excited to introduce you to J&K Custom Cutting. This Christian-based operation is a father and son team that is ready to take care of your lumber needs. The great thing is they are portable, so you can bring logs to them or they can come to you. They also build logging mats and they sell lumber of all types with a specialty in cedar. So call Johnny and Kevin at 903-824-8477. That's 903-824-8477. They are waiting to hear from you. Now, we are digging into an extremely important part of the Word right here. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, Paul is beginning to answer an amazing question. How did our relationship with the sin nature change? What happened? Well, Paul's going to give this to us in a few steps, all right? Step one, we just discussed right before the break. When we were placed into Jesus Christ. At the point of our salvation, this is what I said earlier, something happened in God's mind, in His eyes, when He saw us, because He took us like an old piece of lead, and He took Christ, the perfect, pure piece of gold, and He melted us down, and He infused us together. We were placed into Christ in the eyes and the mind of God. You need to know this happened to you. How did the sin nature, the power of the sin nature, break in our life forever? Number one, we were placed into Christ. Romans 6:3 says that we were baptized into Christ. That means we were placed into Christ. We were joined with Him and made into one flesh. Step two is the rest of this verse. The Bible says we were baptized into His death. Don't let baptized throw you. We were placed into the death of Jesus Christ. Now this is huge. I've got to get you to see this. This is beautiful, beautiful theology right here. If you can grasp this, it will melt your heart into the hands of God. You need to see His love and see His grace and see what Jesus did for you. When I saw this, people, I can't express it to you. I mean, I'm feeling a little emotional now. I remember the day that this understanding came through to my heart. And when it did, my life changed. I had been saved for near 20 years. But when I saw what this verse means, my life changed. My life changed. And I want you to see that we were placed into His death. Now, let me see if I can make this come alive to you. The death of Jesus Christ is known sometimes theologically as the substitutionary death. Here's what happened. Jesus physically went to the cross. Jesus was physically and literally nailed there. Jesus suffered pain, agony, torment like no man had ever known. Make no mistake about it. Nobody came close to what Jesus has endured. And it really happened. It's not just a story of antiquity. It happened, people. Why did He do that? Because He knew what it meant for our eternity. Let me show you. Jesus didn't have to do it for himself, obviously. He was perfect, had never sinned, never had a sin nature to begin with, never struggled with the sin. He put sin in its place, and he lived perfectly under the law of God. So when he went to the cross, he was the perfect Lamb of God, just like the lambs of the Old Testament symbolized the coming perfect sacrifice, and it was embodied in Jesus when he went to that cross. See, the Bible says that the wages of sin, you all know it, is death, Romans 6:23. But the Bible also says in Romans 6, verse 7, that he who has died has been freed from sin. So here's the situation that it creates, people. In order to have relationship with God, our sin problem had to be dealt with. And God lined out what that meant, what that required for him to wipe the sin problem away. Required two things. Perfection. Well, that throws me out right to begin with, and you too. Required perfect sacrifice. We couldn't do that. Required the blood of that perfect sacrifice. And required the death of that perfect sacrifice. And when the perfection bled and died, then God could say, the sin is dealt with. It has been removed from my eyes and my sight. But you see the problem there, don't you? You and I can't accomplish that. Why? Because I've committed more sin than I can remember. I can't make step one of the perfection part. I could possibly bleed. But what's the blood of someone so riddled with sin worth? Nothing. That's what Jesus came to do. In perfection, he bled and he finally died. But we, in the eyes of God, Romans 6, verse 3, we were placed into his death. We were baptized into his death. He performed for us the substitutionary death. So here's what happened. Let me try to bring this full circle. Jesus is dying on the cross. I want you to try with your mind's eye to picture this scene. The blood has run down the beam. It is just pooled at the foot of the cross. The Bible lets us know that he was not recognizable as a human. Suffering and dying, and he did not deserve one second of it. God looks down and sees Christ dying. But we were placed into his death. So when God looked down at the cross, he didn't see Jesus. He saw me. Do you hear me? When God looked down at the substitutionary death, the one who was the substitute for me and for you, we are the ones that deserve to hang there and bleed and die, right? You believe that, you know that, or you would have never come to Christ to begin with. You know that you and I deserved the punishment. But we couldn't pay the price. Only Christ could. So God said, fine, if you will live a perfect life and you will go in their place, I will allow your death to be a substitute. And God looked down on the cross and he didn't see Jesus hanging there. He saw you. He saw your face. He saw my face. He saw us dying there. And when God saw us bleeding and dying, then he recognized in his mind that our sin debt was paid. And what did Romans 6, 7 say? For he that has died has been freed from sin. And that sin means the sin nature, right? We've learned that. So let's say it that way. For he who has died has been freed from the sin nature. The wages of the sin nature was death, but he who died has been set free, like a slave from been set free from slavery. He has been set free from the sin nature. We were placed into his death, the substitutionary death. And because Jesus was willing to take our place, and God was willing to see that death as a substitution for our own. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God saw me dying there. He saw you dying there. He saw us dying on that cross. And when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost, the Bible said, and he hung his head and he died, God looked down and he saw David had paid the price for that sin. Folks, I didn't do a thing. You didn't do a thing. That's grace. That's grace poured out over your life and mine. We could do nothing to pay the debt that we owed. And God loved us enough to send the only one that could. Jesus lived a perfect life, died a perfect death, and then God was willing in his great big old heart to say, "Fine, then that death I will substitute in your place." And so Paul tells us, don't you know? Don't you know? You have been placed into Christ Jesus. In the eyes and the mind of God, you have been made and pulled into a perfect union with Christ. And what does that mean? That meant that God was able to look down at the cross and see you hanging, suffering, bleeding, dying for your sin. And because he recognized you there for where Christ died, you have a death that has freed you from the sin nature. You ought to praise God for the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, there's no better way to end it than right there. I want you to come back next week as we're going to get into verse 4, Romans chapter 6. And until next week, you thank God for the substitutionary death and you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.